right, y'all, get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. I'm one of your hosts, Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guide, DelawareBlack.com, Black media specialist, and all-around good guy. I got my partner here, Mr. David P. Coker. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how you doing? This is David Coker. P is the middle name.
Pusher.
Writer of Dave Mark Inc. Promoter, marketing specialist, the gooder guy of the two, and his partner. You know, what's going on, man?
Man, everything's good. You know, like we say every Friday, ready for the freaking weekend. You know,
yeah, it's been a good week though. It's been a little warm. Man, it rained last night. So I mean, what was that? When I'm yeah. Lost for day.
It rained. Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy. And even when I woke up Thursday morning, it was still pouring. You know?
Was it?
Yeah, it was. Because
you get up early.
Yeah, I get up early. Yeah, you know, I'm up at 5:45. So yeah, so, but it's been a good week. Getting ready for the weekend, trying to get some things. I told you, Tim and I are supposed to be doing a wedding this weekend. So we'll see how that goes and go from the, you know, I guess go from there. You got anything special going on?
Not really. Really not really anything. Trying to catch up. You know, of course, I know next week I do want to try to go to a lot of the Juneteenth celebrations. So I'm going to try to get all my work done this weekend so I can, have a little bit of free time. And I may, depending on my kids' schedule, I may go check out that that after party that DJ Tim Dawg that be doing at the Queen on Thursday. So
yeah, that should be pretty nice. That's going to be a good look. And that's, of course, doing the
Jazz Fest too.
Yeah,
you know, this is gonna be real busy because not only do we have, so anyone who's not in the Delaware area, Delaware had one of the largest free jazz festivals called the Clifford Brown Jazz Fest. It's pretty much next week. Then we also have Brian McKnight. This is separate from the jazz festival. Brian McKnight is going to be at the Queen Wilmington venue Thursday. And of course, we got Juneteenth. So, you know, yeah. I know Juneteenth.
It's gonna be busy.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be real busy. So, Dave, save up your money. Choose your events wisely.
That's interesting, though. Why didn't they just have Brian McKnight at the Jazz Festival? I don't get it. If he was going to be in Wilmington, maybe he was asking for too much money, maybe. I don't know.
Or I was thinking maybe.
Didn't he do it recently?
I'm not sure, but
I think he did. Come to think of it,
isn't the Jazz Festival also like different times? Cause you know, like I always thought it was a little bit later in June. You know, but for it to be like what, the 11th through the 18th, to me, it seemed a little bit early. But I don't exactly know either.
Anymore, you can't really judge when any of these things are taking place anymore. The pandemic kind of destroyed everything as far as time is concerned, you know. So stuff that we can, you know, tell time, you know, back in the day, we knew when the Greek festival was coming. We knew when St. Anthony's Italian festival was coming. We knew all this stuff. It was always, you know, this week in June and this week in July. But now, I don't know. I don't know when any of the stuff is coming anymore, man. You know, so.
Yeah. But definitely get a little tricky.
It's going to be busy. I just hope that everything goes off without any issues and people just have a good time. and just enjoy themselves, because this will be the first time in a few years that people can go out and really kind of be a little more comfortable with things.
Where you say, like Future said, mask off this year.
There you go. Well, I'm sure you're still going to see some masks in the crowd.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm sure about that.
Yeah, so, but we'll see. We'll see how next week plays out, you know. Look, we might have to do a pop-up show, you know, so.
Hey.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, Dave, maybe we get big enough by next year, we can do like the pre-show to whatever the Tuesday Jazz Fest act is.
Oh yeah, we can do the do the red carpet show, man.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, for all our faithful News and Trends listeners, reach out to the city of Wilmington, tell the mayor that that News and Trends Dave and Lynn needs to be the pre-show for the 2023 Clifford Brown Jazz Fest.
I know, we can stop people saying, "What you wearing?" Right. so. Oh, this is something I just took out of my closet. It's called wrinkle. You know,
I hope not.
Yeah. So, all right. So, what are we going to talk about tonight, guy?
So, you know, today, and only because I thought it was kind of funny when we were talking to Demetrius on Tuesday, we were talking about Clayton Bigsby. And I think, I don't think Demetrius had heard it, right?
No, he hadn't heard that.
So you know, so I'm sure there's probably some of our listeners who haven't heard it, and we brought it up because we were talking about Vernon Jones, the Black Georgia politician who's a big time Trump supporter, talked about white men are the most discriminated group in America today. So anyway, so that kind of made me think about, for anyone who's seen the Dave Chappelle skit for Clayton Bigsby, where, and in fact, Dave, you want me to preface it, or you want me to preface it? And then we're going to play a short clip just to kind of give you an idea.
Well, go ahead.
All right. So basically, well, you know, in fact, I'll play the clip first, but just think in your mind, a Black person who doesn't know they're Black. And I'm about to play this minute or so clip.
Danger.
Excuse me. Not sure we're in the right place. We're looking for Clayton Bigsby.
Well, look no further, fella. You found me.
Clayton Bigsby, the author?
What, you don't think I can write them books? Just because I'm blind don't mean I'm dumb.
How could this have happened? A Black white supremacist. Our search for answers led us here to the Wexler Home for the Blind, where Mr. Bigsby spent the first 19 years of his life. Bridget Wexler is the home's headmistress.
Well, he was the only Negro we'd ever had around here, so we figured we'd make it easier on Clayton by just telling him and all the other blind kids that he was white.
And he never questioned it.
Why would he?
You've written 4 books now.
I've written 6 books. They've published 4.
What would you say is the overall message of your books?
Sir, my message is simple. Niggers, Jews, homosexuals, Mexicans, Arabs, and all kinds of different chanks stink!
You know, of course, this was a Dave Chappelle skit. For anyone who couldn't, well, who has not seen it, basically they went to, there was kind of like a TV crew that went to interview what they thought was one of the most powerful white supremacists. And when they get to where he's located, he's actually a blind Black man. And that was a skit that Dave Chappelle was playing. So basically, they were saying that when he was a child and he was blind, the facility he was at did not tell him he was Black. So he grew up thinking he was white, and he turned into, you know, one of the biggest white supremacists. So, Dave, I'm sure you've probably seen that multiple times.
Yeah, okay. But it's funny, I'm listening to you talk, though, and it's interesting. Because you said something that was pretty unique and also pretty deep at the same time. He was raised.
I try.
I know you do. Right? It's a brain fart every now and then. When you were talking just then, it just made me think about this. They told him as a kid so that he would fit in with everybody else that he was white. And he bought into it because they told him that.
Exactly.
That's deep right there.
Yeah, no, it is.
And then because they got everyone to play along and, you know, the people who could see play along, his whole life was raised. And even though this is a comedy skit, it really says a lot about the culture and how we can put ourselves in situations that would allow something like this to truly happen in real life. If you think about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's almost
Not necessarily to the degree of being a white supremacist, but I'm just saying the power of suggestion, you know, could lead him thinking that he was just like everybody else.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because we always hear people talk about for kids that kids aren't born racist.
Right.
You know, and, you know, this is kind of an example of that right there. You know, he grew up being told and then he believed it. Now it's his way of life.
Yes. Yeah. And believe me, you know, when you look at the whole skit, you know, he doesn't realize it till that very moment. When he, I mean, you know, and even at that moment, he still had trouble believing it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it just leads you to think about, you know, different situations that you might have found yourself in, you know, when you're dealing with people who, you know, you say to yourself, you do know you're one of us, right? You know, right? You know, so I guess, you know, the conversation tonight, I guess we could talk about those type of situations that we might have been in. You know, I know personally.
Well, hold on, Dave. So,
oh, yeah, you want to play this other clip.
Yeah,
right?
So for all our listeners, so this was a comedy skit I just played. Oh, and Dave, I don't think you've seen this either. The next skit I'm going to play is real life. And Dave, you remember how I talk about I have the mobile home park? In Alabama? Oh,
yeah.
Do you know what city that is in Alabama? I've said it a couple of times. You may have picked up on it. You may not have.
Well, I thought it's in Birmingham, right?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, what is it?
So the city is called Albertville, Alabama, which is where the home park is. Okay.
Yeah, you did say that.
Yeah. All right. So just remember that, okay?
Okay.
Veterans.
Regardless how the next person feels.
But say their names, Alabama has some opposition.
All right, so let me preface it. This was right around when George Floyd got killed in 2020. And there were Black people in Alabama who were protesting the Confederate flag outside of the county courthouse. So first, the interviewers, they talked to the Black people protesting the flag. And then they go over to the other side and there's some protesters that are for the flag. And this is one of the protesters they're talking to. I'll call him the real life Clayton Bigsby.
Regardless how the next person feel, I'm not gonna take my flag down. If I got a thing to do with it, ain't no monument gonna come down.
Daniel Sims says he was adopted as a child.
My whole family's white. Went to all white school, grew up in all white neighborhood. My grandfather was white, and he was the main one that fought in this war here. And he's taught me everything I know.
He explains how he'd feel if the statues and flag were relocated.
It may make my blood boil if they just come up here and feel like they could just tear it down. I don't see me still living if they do that right there. That monument ain't hurting nobody. That monument ain't killing a soul. It ain't talking bad to nobody. It ain't even racist.
But Dunstan's...
Yep, and they... The part I wanted you to see was before that, but this is in Albertville, Alabama. I was like, damn.
Down there by you, huh?
Yeah, right by me. But, you know, it's funny because we're just talking about people being raised a certain way. He was raised by white people. And, you know, we kind of see where his beliefs are.
He sort of looked like Jamie Foxx a little bit.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, he really did. And he sounded like he was in, like Jamie Foxx, one of Jamie Foxx. Yeah. Because I had to look, I was like, well, hold on. He kind of looked like Jamie Foxx a little bit. But, wow, that's deep. You know, and folks, you know, Leonard didn't say, but this dude is holding a Confederate flag at the time he's talking. And, you know, he's got a hat on that's made of the Confederate flag-like hat.
Right.
And he's got that on, and he's serious about what he's saying. You know, so, man, I tell you, you know. I guess we all have had, now, you went to FAMU.
Yes.
Did you go to school with any black white people?
Did I go to school with any black white people? I don't know if there were black white people, but they might have been. Well, I'm sorry. They clearly nobody was white supremacy white. You know, there might have been some people who you could tell grew up around all white people, which is, you know, that's okay. You know, that is what it is. I don't remember any black white supremacist white people.
Okay. All right. I know when I was in school, there was a guy who, his name was Fred. I'll never get it. Fred was trying to fit in. And he'd also gone to all white schools and everything. You could tell, you know, he was guy, you know, he had the thick glasses, you know, he was just, you know, and he, you know, he would try to be funny, but, you know, he couldn't, you know, nobody would laugh at the stuff he said, you know, and he was a big guy. And, you know, he called himself, remember one time trying to talk to one of the black girls there, and you know, poor guy got embarrassed because she just wanted to know parts of it, you know. And so I remember having a real deep conversation with him one day, and he started talking about, he said, I look like you guys. I'm categorized like you guys.
Hold on, did he say categorized?
Yes, he did. I'm going exactly
right.
I remember this so well. He used categorize, yes. And he's because he said, you know, he said, because it's obvious I look the part. He said, but I'm so far from you guys. You guys are definitely different. He said, as much as I try, as much as I want to be, I can't be you because that's not how I was brought up. You know, he ended up joining a white fraternity because he knew he couldn't join. He didn't think he had enough confidence to join the black fraternity. And plus, he didn't feel he was going to be treated right, you know, because back then, hazing was really big back then.
Right.
And he was a smart guy. So, you know, the fraternity he joined was one of those ones that had a bunch of smart guys in it. And they gladly brought him on because he was on the debate team and all that stuff, you know. And it was just, he was just different. And I remember, you know, we used to make fun of him and everything. But I just remember at some point, I just felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
You know, and I often wonder what happened to Fred. You know, I wonder how he made out, whether he married, you know, a white woman or whatever the case may be, or... You know, I just often wonder. He wasn't from Delaware. I think he was from Jersey. But, you know, I don't know if he stayed in the area or whatever the case may be with him. But I just, you know, when you meet people that, you know, they may look like you, but their story is so different. It causes that problem. When I look at celebrities, like I was sitting here when we were talking earlier and we were talking about this particular subject, I was sitting here thinking about celebrities that could fall into this thing. A couple people came to mind. Tell me what your thoughts are when I say a couple of these names.
Okay.
Omarosa.
No.
No what?
Well, hold on. So when you say Omarosa, I consider her Black. Now, I know she had that stint with Trump, but I don't feel like she is what you, however you are going to classify her, I don't classify her as what I think you are going to classify her as, if that makes sense. I mean, because, you know, yes, she did support Trump. Well, prior, at least from my knowledge, prior to all her Trump stuff, she's always been Black. So like before The Apprentice, she was definitely a Black girl. People may not have liked it. She kind of reminded me of Kenya from Real Housewives of Atlanta, where just a lot of people don't like her, but she just got a lot of attitude and, you know. And, you know, even after Trump, and I only know because I follow her on Instagram on one of the pages, but she's married to a Black pastor in Jacksonville who's at a Black church. But so
yeah, I get all of that. And remember, she was engaged to Michael Clark Duncan. And,
oh yeah, you know, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
You know.
Now hold on. But, did he die while they were engaged? Yeah, or yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he did. But what I it's funny because I had a feeling that you were gonna go the opposite direction on me because I you know, this is the ebony and ivory that we got going on, y'all folks. You know, so, but when I look at it, you know, I look at her stance on things because when she needed to be other than Black, she played that role very well. Because that whole thing with the Trump thing and making sure that she was going to have a spot in that White House and everything, you know, in the Trump administration, which she did, you know, he made sure to keep her close until she stopped being useful.
Right.
You know, and, you know, because once we stop being useful, we're tossed aside. And that's when she became Black again, is when she got tossed aside. You feel me on that?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Because remember when she was riding high, she wasn't thinking about us.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually think it went both ways. I think they were both using each other. Because, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I definitely think she's an opportunist. So, you know.
Big time. You know,
however she can, you know, get, you know, more recognition, more. And, you know, and Trump probably the same way. Because, you know, for Trump, it probably looked. It was probably a good look for him to have a Black woman in a high position, you know, on his side, defending him, supporting him, all that too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, since we're in that wheelhouse, okay. I'm going to throw another one at you.
Okay. I'm ready, Dave. Shoot.
In that wheelhouse, how about... Ben Carson.
That
was a long pause there, guy.
Well, you know, I'll try to be politically correct, but he may be one of your uncles. He may be one of your Uncle Toms right there. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing because it almost seems like he's two different people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you first heard of Ben Carson.
Yeah, exactly. He had two different legacies.
Yeah, he was, you know, we were proud of him, you know, and he was our guy. You know what I mean? But then he had another life that we can't be proud of him for, you know?
Yeah.
And
on top of that, some people don't even know the first legacy. All All they know is because, the most recent
because
legacy.
Of what all this craziness that's going on with them now, you know?
Yeah.
It's really a shame because he definitely sold out. I mean, I can't put it any other way. I find it because, you know, for what he did, you know, his history will always be there. But it's his recent history that has overshadowed what we came to know him for. And that's a shame. That should never happen. You know, just because your allegiance to you change your allegiance and you become this person and you forget about the people that, you know, that was right, that was, you know, giving you praise and giving you all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, giving you your props and everything. And now you don't want anything to do with them.
Well, you know, so I think one of the questions was, even when he was, you know, brain surgeon Ben mm-hmm. Carson, did he have a lot of blackness then? You know what I mean? Like, now we supported him, but did he support us? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I remember, like, before the pandemic and I was still teaching, there was I remember bringing up Ben Carson in one of my classes. And at the time, you know, he had made his little run. You know, he was trying to get into, remember he made the run to try to become president. And I mentioned to one of the students who was an older person, she was in her 40s at the time, you know, which is, you know, older for the students that I usually had. And I mentioned, you know, what he was famous for. And she looked me up and down and she said, "That's not the same guy." Like that, right? I said, "It is the same guy." She said, "Wait, hold on. You're telling me that the brain surgeon guy is that guy that we see now?" And I said, "Yeah, it's the same guy." And she just could not believe it, you know, because she said, "But how could he?" I said, "We don't know what happened. Maybe he had, maybe he did surgery on his own brain.
Right.
You know, he had a frontal lobotomy or something. I don't know what happened, but that she just could not believe that was the same guy. She couldn't believe it. And you know, you think about it, a lot of people would probably have trouble believing that, you know, those two are the same people. So, but that's that, you know, you remember on Dave Chappelle, speaking of, you know, you talked about Dave Chappelle and the skit that you played earlier. Remember when they had the draft for black and white people?
Yeah.
and they had all these famous people and they were like, you know, bidding or, you know, drafted. Okay, we'll take this person. Oh man, that was a big one right there. Yeah. One of the next people I'm going to mention was one of the people they talked about on that show in the draft. Michael Jackson. Give me your thoughts.
I mean,
yeah, I like it. I'm throwing these names out there. You know, you have to think before you start talking.
I'm not really sure the context to answer them. So it's kind of like when you say Michael Jackson, I don't think of him as, I don't think of him as a sellout, you know. I just kind of, Michael's just Michael, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, that's why I'm pausing, because I don't know what to say. Like, when I think of Michael Jackson, I don't think of him as a sellout. I think of him as a unique individual who kind of did his own thing and nobody understood white, black, Asian, Chinese, Mexican, you know.
Well, I'm going to say this. When he was a child, I felt he he embraced his blackness more than he did as an adult. Mm-hmm. He spent a lot of time trying not to look black. Spent a lot of money trying not to look black. Then he put himself in situations that most black people wouldn't find themselves in. You know, look how he lived. Look where he lived. You know, he even kind of he secluded himself from his own family, who were black. You know, so yeah, he's unique. You'd think of Mike as Michael, but he's also somebody that seemed to have a problem embracing who he was to me. You know,
do especially you think that was because of, well, I was gonna say because of his blackness, but I mean, I see your point on that.
Yeah, he, you know, we claim him. You know, first of all, the world claimed Michael Jackson. They, you know, he's the greatest entertainer to ever live. I don't care what anybody says. He was, okay? Michael kind of embraced people later on in life, as far as the black folks, when he started having trouble. when he started having the trouble and he ended up in court, a lot of black people supported him. And he embraced them at that point. But Mike didn't even, when you look at those concerts, there were specs of us in the concert crowd.
Yeah.
You know what was mostly in that concert crowd, you know? And he played to that because, first of all, how many blacks could afford the tickets? You know? So he was always going to have certain people to show up. So I look at it, you know, I look at it that way. I don't think he purposely was trying to do that to us. But I just think that because of his circumstances, he kind of became somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Okay. You got anybody you thinking of?
So of course I always think of Herman Cain.
Oh yeah, definitely Herman Cain. Definitely. He worries me. He definitely worries me.
Well, now he passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so. Of course I think of Vernon Jones. And it's so funny, well, even how I played the clip, the listeners wouldn't be able to see it, but also, right around 2020, after George Floyd died, they showed him leaving the White House. You know, there was some gala there at the White House in D.C. Dave, he was mobbed by the people. And I can't remember. So I think he does have a black wife, you know, and she's light skinned black. And the crowd was just, they were giving it to him. Like, I actually kind of felt bad for him because he's walking through the streets, no security, the crowd darn near bum rushing him and his wife, taunting, throwing stuff at him. I mean, not like bricks or anything, but like trash, stuff like that. But yes, I mean, I definitely say Vernon Jones. You want me to tell you someone I hear people say a lot, and I don't know if I really have an opinion on this or not. So Van Jones.
Why is that name familiar? Van Jones.
Commentator. I forget what network.
Is he on MSNBC or one of those?
He's on one of the big networks.
Yeah. I think I know you're talking.
Yeah. So I mean, I do hear people say that a lot. I haven't analyzed that enough to make a decision. Who else? Oh. Candace, what's a black? She's also a commentator too. She is Fox News. Candace Owens.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I always get that.
Yeah, she has that kind of vibe. Yeah.
Well, you know, she reminds me of Omarosa. without the blackness. You know, because I mean, you know, I mean, she got those black woman vibes, but she just don't be fighting for black people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she'd be arguing with people. She'd be telling them how it is, you know, all of that.
Yeah. I get that. Let me throw a name out. Tiger Woods.
Nah, black people support him too much.
Yeah, but why did they support him?
Because they're black.
There you go. They want some. One thing we love is when we start dominating a sport that we're not supposed to dominate.
Right.
You know, just like black people go to hockey games now because we have PK Subban and those kind of guys out there. You know, because you know once we get into a sport and we start dominating it, that's when we show up. You know what I mean? So Tiger's going to get he gets the support because, you know, he doesn't look like the rest of them. But how often do you hear Tiger talking about us?
I mean, not a lot. Now, if he's talking about his father, you know, I feel like I probably hear about him talk about his father more than he talks about black people. But Dave, you know, the one thing I was thinking too is that there's probably a lot of, I won't say black white supremacists, but you know, there's probably a lot of black white supporters to an extremely strong extent, but they don't speak about politics.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, for instance, so like if, you know, Candace Owens, only because she speaks about politics so much and the politics aren't the same politics we politic, you know, Van Jones, Vernon Jones. But, you know, so, I mean, I would almost think if politics weren't a thing, we probably wouldn't even recognize all this. Because, you know, even when Trump was trying to get elected, you know, Kanye West started supporting Trump and, you know, people looked at him funny. Lil Wayne, you know, like I'm trying to think about all the people who came out.
Ice Cube.
Yeah, Ice Cube, you know, all the people who came out on.
You know what that was all about, though, right?
Which one?
Well, those guys that you just named. Ice Cube, Lil Wayne. Kanye, he's Kanye. But those other guys, they were on the Trump bandwagon because of the tax break.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so they were trying, that's what they were on his bandwagon, but they also were also still causing a little bit of career suicide by doing it because, you know, we don't forget nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
And they, you know, we definitely don't forget nothing.
They said Marsha Ambrosio's career has still never recovered. You remember Trump paid her to perform at the White House? And Dave, when people say they wrote her off, they really wrote her off.
Well, you know, the same thing happened to Chrisette Michele.
Oh, okay. In fact, I'm sorry. It was Chrisette
Michele. Is that not okay? Marsha? That's who you were talking about.
That's what I meant to say.
Chrisette Michele. It's like she. It's like somebody took her and did away with her, man. I mean, A friend of mine used to do her hair in Wilmington. She showed up at her shop one day, you know, looking for somebody to do her hair, and she ended up hooking up with a friend of mine who started doing her hair on a regular basis. So the last time I saw this friend of mine, I said, "Have you seen Chrisette Michele lately?" She said, "Nobody's seen Chrisette Michele." They said every since she said, and when she made that decision to do what she did, she said, "I was done with her too."
Wow.
You know, so a lot of people felt that way about what she did. You know,
There was an interview she did maybe in the last year, She said that was one of the biggest mistakes of her life. She should not have done it.
Oh, so she did talk about it?
Yeah, she did. She said she, you know, she if she could basically she'd go back in time, she wouldn't have done it.
Oh, of course.
But I mean, you know, what's
look at all the money she's lost that on.
Oh yeah.
She was one of the hottest performers out there. And like I've heard that, you know, she's tried to get, you know, book herself, you know, at even some of the smaller clubs, and nobody wants her.
All right, well, Dave, this right here is our time. We got to reach out for her.
Oh, you think we can get her for $20?
Well, but you let me tell you what's so funny. And this is, of course, a side story. When Allen Iverson was going through his low period, and I heard him say somewhere, somebody had booked him for less than $5,000 to show up for an appearance because, you know, it was just one of those periods where he was kind of blackballed.
Right.
So I'm sure if that's, and I mean, she's super talented. Like, if we could get her for like $5,000-$10,000 for an event, I hope people would come out.
Well, that's a chance that you take.
Yeah.
You know, because if people know why you haven't really seen her lately, then it's going to be an issue you're dealing with. You're losing a bunch of money, I guess, you know, because people won't, you know. It's really a shame because, you know, she was hot. She was really, you know, she really was. I was sitting here thinking, when just before we got on the subject of Chrisette Michele. You ever see the movie Black Klansman?
I saw parts of it.
Yeah, with John David Washington, Denzel's son. That movie was a real life story of the whole Bixby thing too. You know that, right? Do you know the premise of the movie?
No, because, you know, now I think about, I think I saw Black Messiah. I was thinking of that one.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, that was about the Black Panthers.
Black Panthers, yeah.
Yeah. This movie, John David Washington's character he was a cop, and he had gone undercover to infiltrate this white supremacist group. Well, they were KKK. And he was playing as this white guy trying to get in with the group. And he had gotten in with, you know, some of the top dogs or whatever. And now, of course, he could never show his face as this person. He would talk to them on the phone to act like a white person on the phone.
Right.
But he had his boy who was white go in and beat him. You know, but of course, you know, these guys were so stupid. the Klan's guys were so stupid because they knew something was different about it because they really loved the way he talked. He really was a smart guy. And, they really liked him. But, and, you know, David Duke, you know who David Duke is, right? He got close with David Duke. David Duke wanted to make him like one of the top dudes, right? You know, and not knowing that he was black the whole time, you know, so it was really interesting. The story is really crazy about how they infiltrated and was able to bust up the whole thing. And, you know, Duke at the time was running for, you know, public office at the time. And you should have seen the look on his face when he realized what the real deal was, that John David Washington's character was really a black man, you know, not the white guy that he thought he was, you know. But that movie is really the real life. And, you know, that's a true story. It's not, it's based on a true story. So, you know, and how they broke up this whole thing. But it just tells you, you know, for years, we've had to deal with trying to own up to who we are, what's expected of us, and how we treat people and how we deal with people. But it seemed like we're always the one who has to make the compromise with everything that we do.
Right.
You know, and it's really a shame. When I read a novel years ago, a little small paperback novel. I think I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but it's called They Stole It, But We Must Return It. Now, the title in itself tells you there's something going on. They stole it, but we must return it. Who's they?
We already know who they are.
Yeah, we know who they are, right? And they stole what?
Everything. Our culture.
Yeah, there you go. You can go right into it. You can name a million things, right? But we're the ones that have to pay for it.
Yeah. Dave, yeah. I'm still waiting on my reparations. I don't care how they figure it out. I still want my 40 acres in Alabama and my two mules.
Well, you got 38.
Well, then I want my 40 then.
So, but yeah, when you think about it, because that in that novel, it talked about how, you know, they talked about where the term CP time came from. It was interesting. They did a whole little chapter on CP time and where it came from. They talked about why we eat pork and how come we fell in love with pork. They talked about how you had the light-skinned blacks and the dark-skinned blacks and how they were segregated and how they got their jobs that they were doing based on what they looked like. And you know, who was acceptable and who wasn't acceptable. It was just a real deep book, you know. And when you look at the world and we look at how things are, and folks, let me say this, you're listening to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. You know, every now and then we have these little conversations that we like to have. And so everybody probably tuned in and say, what are they talking about? You know, so, but this is just one of those conversations, you know, that we have to have every now and then, just so we can make sure that we stay honest, that we stay woke, and that we are trying to just stay up on the things that we need to talk about, you know? So when we look at what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, when we look at who we are versus who they are, you know, when I think we did our little thing where we talk about would you rather, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And somebody paid me $1 million to be a white man, I would have to walk away. Because I just feel that there's no better race to be than being black.
Ditto.
Yeah. And that's no shade on anybody else, our brown brothers, or you know, any shade, any ethnic ethnicity that you may be. Not saying that. I'm talking about my preference, what I would want. You know, so, you know, and I'm sure, you know, other people will say what they want to be. So, but it is just unique. We brought the subject up. We just wanted to talk about it and just kind of throw it around. You know, we started out, you know, making a little fun, but it's sad fun at the same time because of who we are and what we do, you know? So, but you got any closing things to say yourself there, guy?
Nah, I mean, you know, I just want to recap one thing you said at the beginning. I didn't get the chance to say it then when you talked about your classmate from University of Delaware. Yeah. And how he said, what was that word he used?
Categorized?
Yeah, I'm categorized as y'all, but I don't fit in like y'all do. And you're right, you know, that makes it you feel kind of sad because clearly he said that because he wants to fit in, but he just doesn't know how. And he's kind of gone to those people who accept him maybe more, because they, you know, they may not even accept him 100%. But you know, I don't know. Like I think it's hard for people who fall in that where people are too white to be black and too black to be white, and they're caught in this middle limbo where, you know, I say they almost don't know who they are because they never really fit in anywhere. So, you know, I think, you know, yeah, I think that's tough for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. And that's like going back to the whole Michael Jackson thing. Michael Jackson had to be the loneliest person to ever walk this earth, if you think about it, because of what you just said. Mm-hmm. He probably felt he never fit in anywhere. Think about it.
Yeah, all right. Now, I will say, I think there's some lonelier people than him because his talent and his money got him attention.
But he was still lonely.
But think if there was somebody in his same position, no money, no talent, you know, like.
Well, they probably wouldn't have. We're hearing about these people doing suicide all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you take a guy like him and you take a guy like Prince, you know, these are two of the biggest superstars in the world. And they they self-medicated themselves until they died.
Right.
You know, and both of them were pretty isolated people. If you think about it, they were. You know, so, you know, even... they always say money's not the answer to everything.
Exactly.
You know, because it can't buy you necessarily, well, it didn't buy either one of them happiness because they would still be here if that was the case. So, but, you know, I just hope that this conversation, folks, I just hope this conversation, this kind of gave you a chance to think about some things and just kind of look at things from, you know, perspective different than what you normally would take. If you have anything that you want to comment about, you know, please feel free to reach out to us. You can put it in our chat. You can, you know, send it to us on our page. You know, we like reading your comments. We've told you if you send the stuff, we're going to mention you. We're definitely going to let you know that we read your stuff. So, so just kind of keep that in mind. And if you want to express your thoughts on what we talked about tonight, you know, all right. Anything else, sir?
No, I'm good. I think we covered it all.
Okay. All right. So with that being said, we're going to say good night. Thank you for joining us on the Weekend Roundup. Join us next Tuesday at 8:00 for News and Trends with Dave and Len. And have a great weekend, everybody.
Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.